Father, this is a good time to share the bread as a family, the same family or those who believe in your name. Come and talk to our heart and let us discover the secret from the word we are going to read. May your name be glorified forever. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our reading today is coming from the book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. We are going to read verse 18, 19, and 20, and continue our reading from John, chapter 4, 25 until 30. Let us start with Mark, chapter 5, 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus has done for him. And all the people were amazed. Amen. John 4. John 4, 25. The woman said, "I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. That is the word of God. Today, we are responding to a question, and here is the question: why shall we testify? Why shall we testify? Why are we witnesses for Christ? And why shall we testify at home? Particularly, we are going to talk about testimony at home, among our own people. So we have two cases we have read from Mark and John: the case of a man and the case of a woman. These two cases will help us to understand how we can testify at home. Let us start with a man. Jesus is healing a demon possessed, and he was a man. This meditation will focus on the after healing. We are not going to talk much about how the person was healed, but after the healing, after the miracle, after he received Jesus Christ, what happens? Receiving Jesus Christ, being a new born, being born again is very important. It's a very good step. But now, after receiving Jesus Christ, what happens? People will talk much about the miracles itself and will then leave the after miracle, the after healing, in anonymity. But now we talk about this time, what happens. When you read at the beginning of this chapter, Mark chapter 5, Mark is describing these terrible conditions of a man who is possessed by a multitude of demons. And when you read at the beginning of the chapter, you find that the man was living far from people, very far. And you can guess that he was naked, living in a place called cemetery and cutting himself with stones, breaking every chain, even iron chains. No one was able, no one was strong enough to subdue this man. He was ready to threaten every person. He even tried to threaten Jesus Christ himself when he came and met his. The Bible says that he cried every day, day and night. And he was living among the dead. That was his condition. And the Bible tells us that Jesus met him and delivered him. Then he changed. Suddenly he received Jesus Christ and he felt himself free. He celebrated his freedom. He was now supposed to serve Jesus Christ after the miracle, after the healing. And we are told in the text that when the Lord was on the point of leaving the country, the man came and asked, that possessed man, he said, "Can I go with you, Lord? I want to stay with you." He felt grateful to the Lord because of this change he is feeling inside himself. He felt full of love to him, to his deliverer. He thought he could not better than follow Jesus Christ, go with him, be his companion, be his disciple, go with him everywhere he preaches the word, the gospel, and even where he performed miracles. He wanted to be with Jesus Christ. He was ready to give up everything, his family, his friends, his house, his country, and follow Jesus. And you can imagine that all this is coming from his inner heart. He really wants to follow him. "I want to follow you, my Lord, my Savior, my Deliverer." But the strange thing when you read this text is that what appears at the first sight is that the request is not accepted. Jesus refuses the request. Jesus has another way for this person, how he can save him. The Lord always sees differently from men. For him, there is another, a better way how we can serve and glorify him. And this better way is go home. Go back home. Go home in your own family, in your own people, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. If that was me, or maybe if it was you, I think the following and logical question to Jesus would be, "But why, Lord? Why shall I go home? Why shall I testify only in my own family? But I want to follow you." And Jesus would reply and insist, "No, my son, don't follow me everywhere I go. Go back home. Go and testify in your own family, in your own people. Don't follow me everywhere I go. So it seems to be different here, and it is very important to find today the lesson. We are often very limited, we, humankind, to assess and judge how really we can serve God. We are always limited. When we celebrate the gospel, our new status in Christ, and when we are excited for the change we are experiencing every day, we are in a great danger of making mistakes and choose only something which is good for our intentions, not for the Lord who serves us. So sometimes we are in that danger of choosing how we can serve him. We will choose what we like more and not what the Lord needs. And that is the danger. So the Lord says, go at home, go back home and serve at home. Then the question is, why shall we testify at home? We learn from this verse, this text, that a believer own home, that is the first claim on his attention. The place where we can serve better, it is at home. It is available. And those are the striking words the Lord is addressing to this man. And I think the same word the Lord is addressing them to us today. Go home in your own people and serve them. I think the friends, the brothers, the sisters, the parents of this man had probably not seen him for some years, for long. So they needed him. He was far, remember, he was far, living far among the dead in the cemetery. He was a cause of trouble for the family, a cause of sorrow for his family. Imagine you have a brother and a sister who is living at Macau. The only time you can meet him is when you bring somebody to bury at Macau. Then you can meet your brother and your sister. How can you imagine that situation? This man is a cause of trouble. He is even worse than a dead person, because he is the cause of trouble and sorrow for his family. Then when he received Jesus, for Jesus, the first thing is to go back in the family, not going around with him. Go back. For Jesus, the way by which he could most glorify God is going back home and tell his friends, his family, how the Lord has done many things to him. So he is a living witness before the eyes of the compassion of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He must deny all pleasures of going with Jesus and see how he's preaching the gospel and performing miracles. The good place for him is to serve the family, to serve his own people, to serve his own country. How much wisdom do we find through these simple words of Jesus Christ? He is addressing to this man and to us today. I think it's better to understand the meaning of home. What is home? Or maybe where is home? We don't have time. I would be curious to understand from you, to listen how you define this word, this concept, home. But let us listen to my own definitions. What is home? Home is the place where we find the family. I mean the father, the mother, sisters, and brothers. And in Africa, we have grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, friends. That is home for us. That is the first definition I found. The second, home is every place where we are most continually seen. We serve there. We naturally behave. We talk with people and the family at home. There are people who are shy outside, but at home they are talkative. They live naturally at home, but outside they try to be a bit different. So Jesus is calling us to go home, where we naturally live and testify. The third definition, home, seems to be also a place where you spend your time. According to this definition, then home is your office, home is at school, home is at the market, home is at the hospital, home is everywhere you spend your time. That is home for you. And the last definition, and very simple definition, is home is a place you feel at home. So everywhere you feel at home, that is home. And that's where Jesus is sending you to go and testify. Then, why shall we go home and testify at home? Home is a place. Remember, when you were under the influence of Satan, home is a place you were harming people. You were cause of trouble for your parents, for your children, for your relatives, for your students, for your clients, for your patients. When you were under the power of Satan, then when you receive Jesus Christ and you are miraculously cured and healed by Jesus Christ, you have to go home and stay in that place where before you were harming people, so that those people may see your change, how you feel, how you celebrate your change in Jesus Christ. So home is a place you should pay attention daily to be witnesses of Christ. It is a special place for us to live the gospel. There is no theory at home. Try to preach at home on prayer. Brother and sister, we are going to talk about prayer. Then your children will watch you how you pray. They will even need to know the program of your prayer. At home, there is no theory at home. Try to preach about reading the Bible at home. It is fine. But those who are living at home will know you are reading which chapter this week. Because at home, there is no theory. You have the opportunity of living the word at home. So it is a very good place where Jesus is sending us today is at home in our own family, our own country, our own people. It seems that people are sent and holy abroad out of their family, but find them at home. They are wicked and ungodly. It seems that it's possible. The contrary is also possible. Holy at home, but ungodly abroad. Today we talk about home. People want to see you holy at home. I remember, just ask teachers. Sometimes we call parents and tell them what their children are doing at home. And when you call the parent, he says, "That is not my son. It's not possible. My son cannot behave like that." It's fine. He is sent at home, but ungodly at school, unfortunately. So, go home. The second example is that of the Samaritan. We read it in John. We have read this woman who was spiritually healed by Jesus Christ. He came to know that the person he's talking with is the Messiah. What? The Messiah. Jesus said to him, "I who is talking with you, I am the Messiah." That is not possible. And then the Bible says that she left her water jar and went back at home in her own city among her own people and community and testified there at home. She had the reason. She had the reason why she found herself to go and testify. And the reason is that, "Come and see a man I've never seen, because she is able to tell me everything I have done." So that is the reason for this woman. It means to testify. If you want to testify, you must have a reason why you have to testify. Then at the end of this sermon, I'm going to read to you a long list of reasons. Unfortunately, my time is over, but let us start reading some reason you can find the Bible. The first reason, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9. Can we read it together, brothers? Yes. "Then they said to each other, 'What we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let us go at once and report this to the royal palace.'" We all know this story of lepers. The second reason, Christmas is coming, it is from Mary. She said, "My soul glorified the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." She has a reason. And John chapter 1, 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law, and whom the prophet also wrote about." He has a reason.